Kings chapter 4. We've had enough God in this service already. We could have just had a time with Him, but I guess you guys want me to preach, so I will. Next Sunday, right after service, we're going to have a meeting about the nursery, so we'd like to have all the ladies and even your husbands stay over right after service. We're going to talk about we need some help in the nurseries. So if you'll stick around next Sunday right after service. I understand there might be a meeting today after service, so we'll postpone it till then. I want to make another announcement about tonight's service. If you got somewhere else to be, I'd be there. God said tonight's message will be like, here's how He put it, like riding a razor blade slide into a pool of alcohol. It's going to be painful for the church because it's been painful for me. I don't know if He's trying to use reverse psychology on us or what, but He told me if you want to be somewhere else tonight, if you want to go visit somewhere else, it'd be a good night to do it because God's really going to get into us. I'm not going to get into you because that's not my job. I'm not here to... I've heard this old saying in the church for a long time, shearing sheep, and all. I don't know anything about that. But I know when God told me this message for tonight, it broke my heart. It hurt me. But I needed to be hurt. Sometimes we need to be hurt. We need to hear truth. Some of that message might spill over into this morning's message because I know some of you will take me up on the offer not being back. But I wouldn't hold it against you. I'll be honest, if I could get somebody else to preach it for me, I would. I'd take the night off. Take Kings chapter 4, verse 1. I said this is going to be a youth message. Forget that. That was a trap. It's for everybody. I don't preach youth messages. I don't. I preach to everybody. I ain't never been a youth pastor. I've never been an older man pastor. I've never been anywhere in between. Guess what? I just preach. I preach what God puts on my heart, the way He puts it on my heart. Can I tell you about what happened to me when I first got called to preach? I don't know. I'm going to mind the Lord if y'all don't mind. And we might be here a while. When God called me to preach, I went a week after that. I stood up in my church and I preached the first message God ever told me to preach. It was to two thieves on the cross. He told me 6 months before I was going to preach that I'd preach that message the very first time I ever preached. So I got up and I preached to two thieves on the cross. There was a man there. He said, well, do me a favor. Will you come and preach on the radio next Sunday? Yeah. I made a habit of that. I told God, I said, I'll go wherever you want me to go, whenever you want me to go, as long as I don't have anything else booked before that. And I've been doing that ever since. I went the next Sunday and I preached on the radio. It was right in the middle of a church. They had a live feed right into the radio station. And I preached. And I got in the car afterwards. And Melissa said, man, that was really good. She says that all the time. It's not about my preaching. It's about building my ego up and helping me in my self-esteem, and I need that. She's a good wife, amazing wife. I've been blessed with a good wife. She loves me despite of me a lot of times. But anyway, I got in the car, and she said, that was good. And I said, no, that was terrible. Now, I've said that a bunch of times, too, about my preaching. But she said, why do you think that? I said, because I preached like what I've heard other men preach. God said, if you want to do that, I've got other people do that. If I show you something, I want you to preach it the way I give it to you and the way you see it. Amen? Make it real, make it authentic. Because if I needed another so-and-so, I would have called him. Or I would have called them. Amen? So I'll just give you to you the way God give it to me. And if you don't like that kind of preaching, praise God, there's about 150 churches this way and that way, this way and that way. Go find one. Amen? Whew. God, I'm just raw this morning. If you don't like that kind of stuff, then I'm sorry. Y'all ready to get in the Word before I make a mess of this whole church? Yeah, somebody say amen about that, right? 2 Kings 4, 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, thy husband is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons, and to be a bondman. This message is called Be the Vessels, by the way, Kyle. Be the Vessels. We want your sons! And we want your daughters! Because you owe. Because you have a debt that's unsettled. Back then in this time, they could come to your house if you had a debt that wasn't settled, and they would take your kids and they would put them into bondage. They would put them into slavery. That's still going on today. I like to blame the kids and this next generation for how bad it is, but a lot of times it's our sin. It's our mess. It's our cussing, our lying, our sleeping around, our adultery, our fornication, our stuff that has caused the next generation to see that and want that. It's our fathers who weren't present. It was our fathers who left the house. It's our mothers who wouldn't stay faithful. It was our mothers who looked to another man and said, well, I'll take him because this one's not good enough. I know this is real. I know that it hurts, but sometimes we just need to truth. Our kids are going to pay our debt. They're going to pay for our debt. They're going to be in the bondages of drugs and sin and pain and heartache. And a lot of times it's not because of the rest of the world. It's because we didn't set the example. I kept thinking to myself on this, how many times am I letting such a great thing that I have inside of me just be set down? And my kids say, okay, oh, Dad, yeah, 2004 you're on fire, 2005 you're on fire, 2006 you're on fire, but you're beginning to settle. So I guess God's good for a couple of years and then you can just settle down and just be normal. I wonder sometimes, how do we come to church and just be settled and normal? And how do we keep God in such control? If God's in us, how do we keep Him under control? How do we do that? Because we want to keep Him under control. We want to keep Him subdued. We don't want passion. We don't want God to show up because He might mess up our mascara, our hair, our suits, our shirts. He might have us in the altar for 30 or 40 minutes and we can't explain why we're in the altar for 30 or 40 minutes instead of singing songs and preaching messages and doing things that everybody thinks is normal instead of getting a hold of God like we should be doing. Some of us have settled for God. We've settled and said, God, you're good enough that we've got insurance that we'll get to heaven and we won't go to hell. Listen, God's more than that. He's bigger than that. He's better than that. He's got a better plan, a better life, and a better thing for you than just making it to heaven. And your kids need to see it. The next generation needs to see that it's better than shopping. It's better than a car. It's better than a house. It's better than new stuff. He's better than anything that you can have. He's the most important. And a lot of times I believe we settle adults. And we wonder why our kids have settled. We wonder why church is not important to them. Why reading the Bible is outdated. Why praying is outdated. Because they've probably never seen us do it. They never see us do it unless we're hurt or broken or somebody's dying or sick or got cancer. Listen, I remember a time in this church when I first came here. We filled this altar and we prayed like crazy and we cried because one of our members was so sick and so hurt. That's all we wanted is God to touch. Why have we not done it prior to that? And why have we not done it after that? I know why. It's because it's not important. Because God's not important to us sometimes. We'd rather do it ourselves than talk to God about it. I know this message is hard. We want revival, but we don't want to do the hard stuff. Revival started with a man hanging on a cross. Salvation started with a man beaten beyond all recognition. That's how revival started. That's how salvation began. And sometimes we come to church and we want lollipop messages, sugar-coated cotton candy messages that we feel good. And we walk out of here and say, man, it was good to be in the house of God. Sometimes when it's good to be in the house of God, it's heavy to carry your heart out of here. That's what being in a good service sometimes is. It's hard to carry yourself out of here because it's heavy. God's watching us parents and grandparents. Have you settled on God? Is this your church? Are these your pews? Is this your steeple? Is this your church? Is this your stuff? Or is it God's? Whew. Do we still want to run everything? Have we settled? Would we argue about a building? Would we argue about a floor? Would we argue about a window? Would we fight somebody over something that's temporal? Oh, the councilman didn't do this, or they did do that. The pastor did this, but didn't do that. Well, praise God. When have you been upset about souls being lost? When's the last time you came to the altar and said, oh, my granddaughter, oh, my son, oh, my daughter, oh, my brother, oh, my sister, oh, my dad? When's the last time you seen your dad in church? When's the last time you seen your mother in church? When's the last time you seen your uncle, your cousins, your brother? When's the last time you sought God for you? I know this is hard. I know it's hard. It's hard for me to preach it. It was hard for me to hear it. But I want you to know God wants more out of us than just coming to the house of God and sitting up here and hearing great songs and preaching great messages. We're seed poor. We got seed running out of our pocket. That's a good message, brother. That's pretty good. That's great singing. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? God don't stir your heart up. He don't preach to you like that. He don't sing like that for you to walk out of here and say, man, I was entertained. He does that to set you on fire, to stir you up, that your family says, he is so on fire. She is so on fire. It's hard to be around them because they're so on fire. They're so lit up with God. Golly, bum, I want that or I've got to run from that. But so many times, I'm preaching to you and you don't even know it. So many times we blame our relatives for not coming to church, not getting saved, not wanting to be here. You know why they don't want to be here? It's because they don't see nothing in us and in you that makes them want to be here. Because a lot of times we'll get home to church and we'll complain about everything that was at church and we never tell them, man, God was good. Stop telling them the pastor's good. Stop telling them the singers are good. Go home and tell them, man, God is good and you need that. If you do it right, for a lot of times in your life, a lot of people you love will be miserable around you. But when they get saved, you'll be the first person they run to and say, thank you. Say, thank you for making me thirsty and hungry for the Word of God. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I want to tell you this. Get them in the house. You mean this house? This is a building. I love church. I love this church. I ain't going to lie to you. I love the building. I love the carpet. I love everything about this church. I love the new sanctuary we're going to build. I love the old sanctuary. But you know what I love more than that? The believers. What I love more than that is we are a family of believers. You can tear this building down. You can tear that building down. That building can fall down, but we'll all still stand. We'll get together and worship together if we have to do it outside or in somebody else's house. That's the church. And listen, Generation Next, whoever you might be, get here. Be here. Worship here. Praise here. Serve here. Be passionate about God here. Because we're one of the only places left on the face of the planet that you're going to hear about Jesus. That you're going to hear about what's right and what's wrong. You're going to hear, hey, this is a good thing and that's a bad thing. This is the only place where you'll see, I hate to tell you this, but this might be the only place you'll ever see this. Older people and younger people, a whole generation and everything in between. Guess what? Most homes don't have the old man. Most homes don't have the old woman. Most homes don't have the middle-aged people. Most people don't have the kids all together. We have generations upon generations here. And you can walk up to somebody and say, will you pray for me? Will you show me? Will you help me? And you know what? Somebody will say, I've walked where you've walked. I've done what you've done. Stay with God. Stay with God like I stayed with God. No, I'm not perfect. No, I didn't do it all right. But this is the last place. This is the last bus stop for America right here in the church. If you don't belong to a church, get involved in one. A Bible teaching, Jesus believing, on fire, Holy Ghost, church that loves Jesus. Get it in the house. Get them in the house. Young people, come to church whether your feelings are hurt, whether you're mad or upset. Because guess what? You'll go to work the same way. And there ain't no paycheck better than what Jesus gives. I went to work for years and years and years. Hated the place and didn't like the people much either. But I went because there was a paycheck. Guess what? We ain't going to give you a physical paycheck, but guess what? Jesus resides here. You can get over people and you can get over attitudes and you can get over things. And let me tell you something, friend. If you've got a bad attitude and you're bitter in this church, stay on this altar until God removes it. Man. I've seen this message going a whole lot different when I was preparing it. Now listen to this next part of this message and listen to how many times God says, go back. Save the pot of oil. You know what's in a house? Oil. You know what oil always represents in the Bible? Holy Spirit. You know what this message is not about the oil? It's not. Oil's good. This oil's good. It'll always be good. Can't mess the oil up. Devil can't mess it up. World can't mess it up. Family, people can't mess it up. God says the oil's good. The oil's always represented the Holy Spirit. You know, if the devil can't mess the oil up, you know what he always messes up? The vessels you're going to put it in. Us. Amen? That's why he's warring against you. That's why he's waging against you. Listen, this is going to bleed over in tonight's message. You might hear this again, but guess what? We're trophies of grace in here. Do you know that? We're trophies of grace. Everybody that's saved in here, we're trophies of grace. God got us off the trash pile. Amen? That's me putting it lightly. He went and got us out of the heap that this world, the trash. And he made a trophy of us. But make no mistake about it. In this church, people come to me all the time and say, do you know this is going on? Do you know that's going on? Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And all the time I don't care. Because I know God's bigger than me. And I'm not God's policeman. I'm God's messenger. That's my job. Is to tell you what God said. And to give you and encourage you and help you when I can. But I can't change your heart and I can't make you do stuff. If God can't do it, I know I can't. But let me tell you something. God watches us. And God leads us. And God directs us. So you ain't got to tell me people are doing stuff. I know they're doing stuff. But guess what? God knows too. And He's got better ways of correcting than I do. Amen? I do. He does. I mean, He's got a better way of correcting than I do. Amen? And He'll straighten everybody out. Amen? I want you to see this. Listen how many times this says this after this. Verse 3. Listen for the word vessels. Then he said, go, borrow thy vessels abroad, all thy neighbor, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door, and upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. God's looking for vessels. God's like, you want to put God into something? Go get some good vessels. Amen? That's what he's saying. If you want God in something, if you want God in somebody, go get vessels. Somebody say, how's this church going to grow? How's it going to do better? How are we going to? Go get vessels. Go get a bunch of vessels. Go get as many as you can. Did you notice her miracle was not precedent? It was on her to get as many vessels. God was going to do a miracle, but she had to get the vessels. It was predicated on her getting vessels. God ain't going to do all the work for you. The oil's good. But guess what? Sometimes He's going to send you. He's going to send you to be the thing that's going to change you. That's good, right? Because sometimes we like to do this, don't we? Oh, God, deliver. God, fix. God, do it all. And we want to get in the lazy river of Christianity. God, where's my inner tube? Where's my inner tube where I can go get in and just ride around in holy spiritual bliss and never have to worry about another thing again? That'll never happen. It'll never happen. You're going to have wars. You're going to have fights. You're going to have trouble, tribulation. You're going to have hate, anger, madness. Everything's going to come against you. When you get saved, you're going to get a target. You ain't going to get free. You're going to get a target. And the devil's going to say, you are target number one. First, I can't unsave you. I can't take your salvation away. But I can destroy the testimony. I can't mess with the oil, but I can mess with the vessel. That's why he keeps messing with you. Said, the issue is the vessels. If you want to be a useful vessel, I was thinking about these vessels when I was preparing this message. I thought about when you go to Walmart. Anybody go to Walmart here? Painful half hour if I go. Painful 2 or 3 hours if I go with somebody else. But I was thinking about when you go through Walmart, you wander around and just thinking about all the items you get. You get milk and butter and turkey and, you know, eggs. Y'all could probably help me with some of this stuff. Bread, things like that. And you, what was that last one? Got to have the coffee. Got to have the coffee, the extra strong coffee, the creamer and all that. And you think about it, what if you got to the checkout counter and they didn't have the bags? You know, the little plastic luggage they got there? I call it luggage because after you use it for that, you use it for everything else. Right? Everybody's got a storage house of Walmart bags somewhere in their house that they use for everything under the sun, especially if you have to make a quick getaway. Amen? So it would be a mess because as soon as you left that Walmart or that store and you didn't have bags, you'd have stuff falling everywhere, right? Them bags are cheap. They're probably like 1 or 2 cents a piece. But they make life good, don't they? And then somebody said coffee. I'm glad you said that. I love coffee in the morning and about 12 o'clock and sometimes 2 and sometimes I like coffee. Amen? But you know what? If you go to somebody and say, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. I'd like to have coffee. If somebody gave you coffee and just threw it in your face, you'd be mad or you'd be burnt for one. What you need it in is a vessel. Is that correct? You need it in a vessel. And that vessel ain't expensive either. But it's very necessary. Amen? It's very necessary. And I started thinking about the pizza guy. Could you imagine if you called the pizza guy? You out of the hotel or something, you call the pizza guy and you say, hey, I'd like the extra large pizza with everything on it. And I'm in room 1315, just send it up, just, you know, and you're excited. And all of a sudden, the door rings and he's standing there and he's got the pizza and it's all over his hand. Where's the hand been? That's the first thing you'd think. Right? Where's your hand been, sir? Cheese and grease running down. Right? What would you say to him? Here's what I'd say to him. Where's the box? I expected the product to come in a box. Amen? It's a 30-cent box. Could you not have put it in the vessel? See, this is a 39-cent box. It don't bring any value to the product. But the product. Brings value to the box. Because once you get the product in the box, woo, then it's worth something. And you're glad to see it coming in the box. Don't be puffed up about being the box full of the product. Come on. Because you know who you are without the product. I'm a 39-cent box. Oh, you're a man of God. You're anointed. I'm a 39-cent box. I ain't nothing without Jesus. Oh, you're called. I'm called, but I ain't nothing without the content. Amen? And that's all Jesus wants to do is add value to your life. And put the content in your box. But I started thinking about this. What do you got to be used? What do you got to be used? What kind of vessel is he looking for? And I only came up with 2 qualifications. Clean. And empty. Clean. And empty. Clean and empty. when I'm just having sex with my boyfriend, ain't no big deal. That ain't clean. That ain't empty. I'm just drinking a little. I'm just getting high some. I got to cope. That's not clean. That's not empty. I like to complain. I like to gossip. And I ruined my message. Because every time I've ever preached gossip anywhere, nobody ever comes to the altar because nobody gossips. But that's not clean or empty. How do you get clean or empty? What if some of y'all looking at me right now, oh, brother, you're the one that's clean. You're the one that's empty. No, look. My box, my vessel at age 30 was probably more jacked up than your box or your vessel. Amen? Way more jacked up. Way more messed up than your vessel. But I came to a man named Jesus. I came to a man named Jesus and I said, God, my vessel messed up. It's neither clean nor is it empty. He said, I specialize in vessel cleaning. See, if you go into the Bible and you see the first miracle Jesus ever done, it was at a wedding. The Bible started at a wedding. In the middle there was a wedding miracle, and in Revelations there's another wedding. God's into it, amen? But he said there's six vessels of dishonor over there, six of them. Six is the number of man. Said, go fill them up with water. Somebody said, oh no, Lord. Those are the vessels for cleansing. Those are washing vessels. They're dirty on the outside and they're dirty on the inside. Jesus said, Mary does something in the Bible verse. She goes, do whatever the man tells you to do. The man, just do whatever he tells you to do. Jesus said, go down to the water and fill them up to the brim. They took the contents of some old, nasty, cracked, terrible vessels and filled them with what Jesus said to fill them with. And they took it to the king or the governor of the feast. And they dipped in on what should have came out. What should have came out? Amen? Never mind. What should have? See, I knew it. Some people knew me before I got saved. And when they seen me again, I still looked the same on the outside. But once they got to deal with the product on the inside. Hey, wait a minute. This is better. Matter of fact, this is the best. Why have you saved the best for last? You've took a good product. You've took a bad vessel and a bad vessel with contents and made it a great vessel with great contents. Amen? Y'all good? God, He does that all through the Bible. There's a little woman at the well who came. Remember, she had her vessel? And Jesus said, send her away. And she left her vessel leaning up on the well because she didn't need that vessel anymore. Amen? And you said, "What? How does Jesus do that? How does Jesus do that? How can He do that? Because Jesus was a vessel. Amen? And what He did is He went to Calvary and they tore that vessel to pieces. They took a cat of nine tails and they ripped his back apart. They took some nails and they put them in his hands and his feet. And they tore him, that vessel, and rent it to a place that you couldn't even recognize it. If you seen it on Wednesday, you wouldn't recognize it on Saturday. And then they took that broken vessel and they laid it in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. They took the vessel and put it in a borrowed tomb because he was only going to need it for a few days. Because it was a borrowed tomb. See, he was going to stay in a borrowed tomb, but he was doing it to purchase you. See, he wants you for eternity. He needed a tomb for 3 days. And because he was a broken vessel. See, Jesus was new. He was. He was new. He was 100% man. But he was also 100% God. Jesus was new, but Jesus the Christ was the Ancient of Days. Whew, now you'll get that when you get home. He was the Ancient of Days. He had always been. See, what happens they didn't know is when they ripped and tore the contents, the vessel of Christ, then the good, the product, got out. See, it got out. So it can get in us. See, Jesus was he was the product. He was the vessel, but he was the product. He couldn't get into us until they tore the vessel so the product can get out. So what do we do today? Do you know what the Holy Spirit can't do? The Holy Spirit can't preach messages. Can't. The Holy Spirit will not witness people. Holy Spirit won't build churches. Holy Spirit won't build mission. It won't build a mission. It won't go on a mission trip. The Holy Spirit won't do that. The Holy Spirit won't witness to your husband, your wife, your kids. He won't witness to that friend that you've been wanting to be seeing saved for a long time. Amen? He won't do that until he gets into a vessel. Until he gets into a vessel. That's how he works. You know what? Jesus wants to get into your vessel today. And I know there's some of you here today, I'm not a very good vessel. That's why we have altar calls. So God can take a vessel that's not good, clean it up, and make it perfect. And some of you sitting here right now going, well, what about my boyfriend? Or what about this? Or what about that? What about this friend of mine? Do you love that friend more than you love God? You love that boyfriend more than you love God. Some of you need to say to him, look, I like you. I like you. But I love him. I like you in my life. But if it's going to be between you and God, I'll take God. I'll take God. So we all stand as they come get a song of invitation. How's your vessel? Are you going to be the vessel today? Are you going to be the vessel today? Come be the vessel. Come be the vessel today. That's what God would have you to be. Say, God, pour into me your sweet spirit, your sweet Holy Spirit, and make me the vessel. There's plenty of room on this altar. There's people praying. Come. God's dealt with